We all stand for the reading of the gospel. The scripture that's in your bulletin is different than what the actual scripture is today. Today we'll be reading from Luke 9, verses 28 through 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very, very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks. Good morning. I'm constantly impressed with the technical crew that we've got here. The last minute. This is Transfiguration Sunday, but originally Fred had a different text and a really, really cool technical accomplishment, but we won't go into that. So we've changed gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about transfiguration and making time for Jesus. The event described in the scripture lesson today is often called the transfiguration. Now, this term comes from the Latin, meaning to change into another form. Peter, James, and John saw Jesus transform physically into a different state of existence, probably assuming qualities like those of the body after the resurrection. Jesus took only three of his disciples up with him to the mountain, James, John, and Peter. Jesus wanted these disciples to experience what he knew was to come so that they could describe it later. In today's journalism, an account is considered to be reliable if verified by two or three witnesses. These same three had been chosen as witnesses earlier. In Luke chapter 8, we hear the story of Jairus' daughter. Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. Before Jesus and the crowd arrived at the house, a messenger said to Jairus, "Your daughter is dead." He said, "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's parents. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Her parents and the disciples were astonished, but Jesus ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. And these same three disciples would be witnesses again at a later date. We learn from Matthew chapter 26, Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he pulled out Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, John and James, and he took them with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to just those three, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. And then, and this is timeless instruction from Jesus for all of us, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found the disciples sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners." And then the soldiers come and arrest him. Returning now to today's scripture, I thought I'd throw out some random points about this text. The inner circle. Why did Jesus Christ choose to take only Peter, James, and John with him to the mountaintop? Why not the rest of the 12? Later, all of them would witness the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead, but this initial display of resurrection power of God was reserved especially for the three closest to him, John, James, and Peter. Maybe that's because God delights to share his power with those he loves the most. In the bright light, some try to explain away the change in Jesus by saying that the sun was shining on him through his clothing because he stood at a higher elevation than the disciples. However, such explanations do not do justice to the text. Indeed, Luke describes a shocking change that took place in Jesus before his eyes. His face and his clothes were as brilliant as a flash of lightning. Jesus' earthly body shone with the light and majesty of his heavenly being. Jesus had on his heaven suit. Linkage to the past. Why were Moses and Elijah the ones to appear with Jesus? Commentators suggest various explanations, but a likely one is that Moses represented the law and Elijah represented the prophets. In this way, God demonstrated to the bewildered disciples that the coming death of Jesus fit perfectly with the other major elements of the Old Testament. Encouragement. Only Luke records the topic of conversation between Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. It's interesting to note that Jesus' death and the salvation it would provide was the topic of conversation even among heavenly beings. Even the saints who had died looked forward to what Jesus would accomplish on the cross. Moses and Elijah were likely encouraging Jesus, helping to prepare him for the persecution and pain that weren't far in the future. The heroes of the Old Testament were showing us a great example. Give encouragement and hope to those going through rough times. Fear. It's not surprising that the disciples were afraid as the cloud came down over the mountain. After all, this whole experience had been profoundly supernatural. And they may well have remembered that God descended to the top of Mount Sinai in a cloud that only Moses was allowed to go to the mountaintop to experience God's presence. Don't repeat the story until. We might wonder why the disciples kept silent about this wondrous event. The answer is found in Matthew's account of the story. It says in verse 9, as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Jesus told them to keep quiet. After this amazing experience, they were likely to obey whatever Jesus said. These stories are the foundation of our faith. But he wanted them to be told in the right context and at the right time. Faithfulness. At the Transfiguration, John, Peter, and James witness evidence of a better life awaiting them. Their faithfulness to Christ in the face of hardship would be well worth the struggle. There is nothing more important or rewarding than a relationship with Jesus. And finally, give God your best time. These sleepy disciples almost missed the glory of Christ because they were exhausted, just as in the Garden of Gethsemane. What in your life is stealing your energy, distracting you from what matters most? What can you eliminate from your schedule? Give God some of your best time slots, moments when you're most energetic and relaxed, to experience the wonders Christ wants to reveal to you. Now I want you, the congregation, to join with me as we give Jesus the time he deserves. Bow your heads and close your eyes, and as I mention a name that addresses Jesus, please silently offer Jesus praise for what each name says about who he is. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Jesus, you are worthy of praise for so many reasons. You are Jesus, God's only Son. You are Jesus, who with God created the universe. You are Messiah, who came to save us from our sins. You are our great high priest, who constantly intercedes for us. You are the King of Kings who sits at the right hand of God's throne in heaven. You are Jesus, and in your name alone is salvation from our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.